Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. Appreciate that. Jay, did you write that song? No. All right. I didn't recognize it. It was great. Good job. 1 Thessalonians this morning. Say, that's what you said last week. Yeah, but we're in chapter 2 this week. And we did chapter 1. If you remember chapter 1, Paul is talking to the church of Thessalonica, and he's just commending them. He's like, you guys are the cat's pajamas. I mean, you're it. Your faith is spoken of everywhere. And we examined what was that set this group apart so much. If you look at verse 3, it says,
are we on? Are we good? You happy, Joe? All right.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jump over to verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols. He says, what has drawn such attention to your faith was the complete neglect of a sinful lifestyle, 100% committed to the things of God, and then not just turning the life, serving the living and true God. And then, there you are, waiting for His return. And we said last week, when we are waiting for the Lord's return, it affects our daily life. Hey, if we're anticipating His return, that's going to change what I do today. And those few things set the church of Thessalonica apart. And it said this, that their faith was every place, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Man, what a testimony. Say, man, it must be great having faith like that. Let me just say, chapter 2 is about the process of them and how they got there. And I want to encourage you, because sometimes we look at these heroes of the faith. You know, this week I'm going to portray the life of George Mueller, and we're like, oh man, if I had the faith and prayer life of George Mueller, sure, God's kingdom would be and we get discouraged sometimes by reading about that. But the Lord is gracious enough to remind us every now and then, hey, I see where they are right now, but there was a process to get them there. And praise the Lord for the process. How many of you are involved in the work of the Lord and His process in our life, right? Amen. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. He that had begun a good work in you. Some of us, the Lord has begun some great things in us, and we're in that working out some things process. Well, chapter 2 is about that. Let's examine this morning. Chapter 2 and verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God. Look at these next three words. With much contention. How do you like contention? Oh, yeah, I'd run to it. Love it. No, we do. We go out of our way to steer clear of contention. I just want, right? Well, Mom, what do you want for Mother's Day? We'd like you to get you flowers or take out. I just want peace in my home one day. Can you go one day and just not fight with your siblings? That was my mom's request to us on Mother's Day. I just don't want the fighting. Paul says this, when we came to you, what were we met with? Open arms? No. Contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, what trieth our hearts. Verse 5, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. And God, as we were encouraged last week by a group of people that were just totally sold out for you, we're reminded here in this passage that is not how Paul found them. And God, the process by which Paul relieved some of that contention. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to make application of that personally in our life. God, we would be reminded that our labor for you is not in vain. Lord, we sure do love you. We appreciate your graciousness and your time and patience with us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so thankful for the mercy and patience of God. As Jason was singing here this morning, I didn't have a lot to bring to the table. I'm sure glad he brought grace to our relationship. And sometimes being a Christian, you understand that being a Christian is a daily choice. Say, what does that mean? Once I'm saved, I'm always saved. Hey, that's true. But to live Christian-like or like Christ, that daily I'm to take up my cross and follow the Lord. And sometimes the flesh gets the best of us. And sometimes we get discouraged by that. Hey, if you remember back to when the Lord showed up at your place the first time, maybe it was the same way as it was spoken of here, with much contention. With much contention. There's been times when I've gone to people's doors and my children have been with me and people have been less than welcoming. Sometimes they've even been contentious, vocally vulgar, obstinate. You knock on their door. At the door, it says welcome, right? Hi, my name's Nick. This is my 10-year-old daughter. You know, at the time or whatever. My 11-year-old son. We're from Walkham. I worship Satan. That's not true. They're just trying to be contentious. There is no God. And they'll say things like that. There is no God. You know, I don't know what it was like the first time you heard it. Maybe you mocked it a little bit. Maybe you pushed back on the gospel. When Paul shows up to the people of the, as we know, the Philippians, the Philippians did not like it. And it tells us here, neither did the church of Thessalonica. You know what? It's so easy to go, you know what then? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to someone that wants to hear. You know what? Forget you guys. I'm tired of that. Heard a great story about a missionary one time. There he was, and he sold all that he had and took his family, and he traveled all the way across the big pond and went to the dark country of Africa, only to find out that they knew about God and didn't want to have anything to do with it. And he was hurting his heart. He's like, hey, I'm presenting you with eternal life, and you're pushing back. You don't want it. And our tendency is, fine, I'll just give up. I'll go find somebody else. Aren't you glad the Lord didn't let you alone? Aren't you glad that when the gospel was first presented to you and you pushed back a little bit, God said, all right, that was your chance, you're done. No, that's not what he did. Man, he was after it. I'm glad Paul gives us an example here that although they were met with contention, they weren't afraid of it. They didn't run away from that. Jude 1 reminds us in verses 1 through 3 to, yes, we are to contend for the faith. Hey, you meet contention? Well, contend back. Not that you get vulgar, not that you get vile, not that you... I was teasing Hudson on the way, and him and I were traveling in, and I asked him, I said, what would you do if someone called you a runny nose? And I just made up some, you know, he would say, mirror. I said, what does that mean? He goes, right back at you. I'm like, all right. So we were going back and forth. I was playing along with an 11-year-old boy. For a moment, this, I would like to think, mature adult assimilated. And sometimes at the door, or we're talking to someone, or we got a guy at work that's just vulgar against the things of God. We're like, all right, well, I'm going to treat him like how he treats me. No, hold on. There's a way that we contend for the faith, and Paul's going to lay it out here. Remember, this is for the lost. Don't give up. Hebrews chapter number 12. You're going to We're going to be back and forth in 1 Thessalonians a bunch, but that's not a hard book to find. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 2. So good to see the Petrozellos here this morning, all the way from, it's a cool name, I forget the name of your town. Where do you live? Tom's River. That just sounds neat. Tom's River, Jersey, New Jersey. Not the old Jersey, New Jersey. And yeah, very good. And we are glad to have you guys here. How long are you in town for?
Till Wednesday.
Wonderful. And did you bring charity? Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, that's what matters. Good. Wonderful. Wonderful. And Pastor Benson over here, wonderful to have you. And Mrs. Dickinson brought Miss Edie, is that right? Wonderful. Met at Walmart and two peas, you know, in a pod. And praise the Lord for that. Am I missing anybody else? And a special guest with us today. We have a bunch of people out of town and ill. Say, how are you feeling? Yeah. And 1 Thessalonians chapter, or Hebrews chapter 12, that's where we're at. Looking on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured a cross, look at despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He says, hey, when you're walking your life of faith, be not surprised that people reject the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they do. They rejected Christ himself. So when we present the gospel, or we present the principles of truth, sometimes, most times, it's met with contention. It's met with resistance. Remember Acts chapter 17 and verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, this is talking of the church of Thessalonica, moved with envy. And the Bible says, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. What does that mean? That means they were vile. The word lewd means vile. And gathered a company, and what did they do? They surrounded the house of Jason, and we read about that last week. Here, that's what we're talking about here. When Paul shows up in Thessalonica, they didn't say, oh, please, come along, Paul. Hey, help us, show us the more perfect way. They're like, you're a good for nothing. We don't want to have anything to do with it. We love our gods of Olympia. We're not going to separate ourselves. And Paul says, you know what? We'll see about that. He wasn't afraid. He didn't run back. He stuck it out. He didn't give up. What would you have done? What would you have done? You go to a town and you say, all right, well, this is one of those towns that gets cursed. Well, I'm just going to move on to the next place. Do we not see Paul when he is stoned? What does he do? He brushes himself off and goes back to where they just tried to kill him. Paul, what is wrong with you? Would you have looked for somebody else? Would you have quit? Well, let's go to Thessalonians and see Paul's process of how on earth did what transpired here. He was met with contention. Chapter 1 tells us that's not how he's talking about him right now. What did you do? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, hey, this isn't just helpful when you're telling someone about the Lord, but this is helpful in every contentious altercation. This is how we should handle ourselves. I'm just going to warn you, the world is contentious. There was a parade this week through the city of Rochester that was celebrating sin. They're just flaunting it. They're dressing, they're screaming it, they're yelling it. Be not surprised that there's contention. Say, what do we do? Do we tell you want us to take the arms? Good. I got guns. I got so much ammo. I am ready. Not at all. That's not how this fight's won. Say, what did Paul do? I'm so glad you asked. I'll show you what Paul did. When approached with contention, what is the first thing that we should respond with? The Bible warns us and tells us, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And in verse 7, it says this, but we were gentle among you. Now, Paul, come on. They just said that your mother wears combat boots, and you're going to go in there gently? That's not going to work. He's giving us the pattern. He's given us the pattern that when someone is contentious towards the things of Christ, how we should respond. I know our flesh, that the hair stands up on the back of our neck, and we wanna go at it. We want to start knocking teeth out for Jesus' name. You hear someone take the Lord's name in vain? You're standing at the door trying to witness to them. You work next to a guy or your neighbor, and they're just adamant against the things of God. Oh, it's go time. Paul says, we were gentle among you. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Is your approach gentleness? Gentleness? Yesterday, I don't know what was up with our dog, and I asked that question a lot, actually, with our dog. I don't know what's going on with him. And he's getting older. He's gray. He's got gray. He literally sleeps probably 20 hours a day, maybe 18. And he'll be sleeping all day, and then he'll get up and then come sit in the chair and go back to sleep. Like, that was it. I went from one room to two rooms down. That's all. I'm done. He's not overweight. He just enjoys a good nap. And I don't know what it was. He was walking across the room, and all of a sudden he let out like that yelp, like someone just stepped on him. And he was kind of hobbling a little bit with, I think he was sleeping wrong, and he got pins and needles in his leg and didn't know what that was. And so he yelped a little bit. So what do? So you take the dog and you got to be gentle with him. All right, Trapper, come here. And he kind of hobbles over, and then you just kind of, like, you're careful touching him. Why? Because somebody's hurt. Hey, there's a lot of hurt people out there that's been devastated by sin. Oh, here's what you need to do. You need to be gentle. You got someone that's injured. If you watch professional sports and things, and sometimes there's we love the impact of football. You know, 300-pound guy running into a 250-pound guy full force, boom! Sometimes, though, one of those guys don't get up real quick. And there's a guy laying there, and you can tell things aren't right. And the guys come out and they're gentle, they lift him up, and they're, why? Because someone's been hurt. Understand that sinners have been hurt by the scars of sin. That's why they're contentious. Why? Because the devil, the father of sin, has his way with him for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They are hopeless. They are without Christ. And Paul says, here's how you handle that. You're gentle. Just be kind. Don't strive. Don't fight. Show them the right way. I'm trying hard to teach some of our kids at the house, you know, hey, when someone says something against you, this isn't time to have a temper. Control yourself. Hey, Christian, when someone says something even against your God, control yourself. Be gentle. That's what Paul did. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth, that's a hard word to say, cherisheth her children. That mother just taking care of that child, holding that little one, little Charity, soon to be. We're ready. Let's go, Ash. Come on. And that little one, you're not out there bouncing her around, pushing her. No, you're gentle. Why? Because they're so fragile. Hey, understand that hard man that is so vulgar and awful against the things of God, they're fragile. No, they come across so they're just a big old pile of mess. And what they need is just the gentleness and love of Christ. That's what Paul did. Look at James chapter number 3. James 3. See, I got this guy or I got this lady at work, and man, she's the office manager, and she is the most, she is just nothing ever. She makes my life miserable. I've invited her to church. I've actually prayed that the earth would open up and swallow her whole. She says things against God. Say, what should I do? Try Paul's approach. Bible says in James chapter 3 and verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We all know how to cause trouble. We all know what buttons to push. We all know the questions to ask. But Paul says, let's try a different approach. Let's be gentle. Say, they're so nasty. Just be gentle. They're hurt. They're broken. They need someone to care for them. And Paul says that's what we did. If you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you. How could you, someone so contentious, be affectionately desirous because they truly loved them and cared for them? Paul truly cared for this group of people. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Number one, we're to be gentle. Number two, affectionate, loving. Paul says this. Yeah, sometimes contentious people, I'll say this, don't love you back. Say, well, I'll show love when I'm loved. Careful. 2 Corinthians 12:15. And I will verily gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul wasn't in it to receive something. Paul was in it to show something. And he says to these that were so contentious, hey, we were gentle. We were affectionate. We just cared for you. It took some... Listen now, it might take some time. See, we want like 5 minutes of, hey, I would like you to forsake all of your beliefs in about 5 minutes and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I know you've lived this way for about 60 years, but you know, I know the overwhelming grace of God here, and here we are. Sometimes it takes time. Maybe you got saved the first time you heard the gospel. Maybe it took some time. Aren't you glad the person that didn't get scared off with your first approach? Aren't you glad that they were gentle with you? Aren't you glad that they were affectionate or caring and loving of you? Paul says, that's what we did, and it worked out okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. They were gentle. They were affectionate. Look at these words in verse 9. And you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. To labor means to work. To work. Look at John chapter number 6. Relationships take time. Jesus said this in John chapter number 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And he says this in verse 27, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. And that's what Paul was working towards. Something, he had the long view in place. Pastor, maybe you remember, when you were pastoring and as a pastor commits to a person in the church, it isn't just for a moment. The commitment is life. And Paul says that. Hey, we were willing to work with you, to labor with you, not just for a moment. We saw the long view. You pushed back at the beginning. Yeah, there was some contention. Yeah, you were vile and vulgar and of the baser sort. I know you surrounded us and you wanted to kill us. But you just didn't know any better. And we were gentle and affectionate. And we just kept working towards the everlasting life. Praise the Lord that there's something to work towards. The Bible uses this in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Not just labor, but here's a word that we love, travail. Bible has that word show up about 50 times in your Bible. Not too many times it is of good circumstances. I say not too many because maybe I missed one, but I was reading through words that were tied to travail were grief, childbirth, great difficulty. Say, that doesn't sound like the work of God that I want to sign up. Sometimes that's what it is. That's going to take some, the word is tenacity. That means you got to brush off some hard things for a little while. Tonight's message is kind of going to, it's going to be so helpful to you tonight if you can make it back tonight, and I encourage you to do so. About the tenacity that's needed as a Christian these days. We live in a place that is just contrary to things of God. Say, do we quit? And no, you stand firm. But here, this is what they did. They travailed. That means not just labored, but hard labor. No offense, Ash. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. First Corinthians chapter number 4, look at verse 12. In labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. That means we just take it. 13, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are offscouring of all things unto this day. He says, we weren't spoken of well, but we continued on. We were met with contention, but we continued working. When you're working with that one that's somewhat hesitant to the things of the Lord and you come back with kindness and love, you're here again? Didn't I run you off? Didn't I scare you away? No, you can't scare me away. Why? Because we have the view of what it's all about. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. So they were met with contention. Their responses were gentleness, affection, labor, travail. Hey, this week we took a whole week and working on getting set up for Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School is actually 2 weeks long. And this evening when you come, it's going to even look much different. I might even have this all set up tonight, and I don't know, for tomorrow. Say, what does that take? Money and time. Just what it is. But can I tell you? Say, would you ever stop? I don't know, not this week. Had a message on Facebook from a lady, and she's like, hey, I just saw your sign at 260 and 104. Can I bring my daughter? 100%. Yes. She's 5 years old. Great. She would love it. Well, can you tell me more about it? Man, are you kidding me? How exciting. Braden invited one of the kids he plays baseball with. He's coming tomorrow. We're praying about these things. Say, is this all worth it? 100%. 100%. Yeah, but it's work. It's travail. We had guys building the London Bridge. See, that's why Americans are so awesome. It took England years to build the London Bridge. We did it in, Brother Beardsley, how many days? One, maybe two. Master craftsman. I wouldn't drive a semi across it, but greatest country in the world. But there was labor. There was work. Is it worthwhile? Absolutely. The work of God is always worthwhile. And that's what Paul is trying to help us with. Because sometimes we go, hey, I went and knocked on their door and they didn't respond with, what must I do to be saved? I was so excited. I brought my Bible to work. I talked to the guy that sits next to me and he said, and I can't even repeat it here. Nor anywhere. What do you do? Well, I tucked my tail and I went home. Oh, no, no. You need to return with gentleness and love and keep working at it. Travail. Maintain a good testimony, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. He says, how do we behave ourselves? We didn't lower ourselves. We maintained a good testimony. I just want to encourage you how important it is to do right all the time. Why? Because you're trying to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, what? They did all this? What happened? Verse 13 is what I call a hinge verse. Hinge is something that swings. They were contentious. They were of the baser sort. They were lewd. They were vile people. And Paul approached them with gentleness, affection, kept after it, maintained a good testimony. The Bible says that they were unblameable. We read how they were being blamed, but yet unblameable. Just, it says. What is that? That's just doing good, right? And do you know how hard it is to do good to people that are mean to you? Say, yes, I do. What do? Man, we get a little bit of resistance at the customer service line. All of a sudden, they're our arch enemy. I would like to return this. It's broken. Well, do you have your receipt? What do you mean, do I have a receipt? I bought that. All of a sudden, you just blow your testimony. How about someone that's actually contentious about the things of God? Paul says, we maintained good. We were holy. We were actually unblameable. See, what changed? Look at verse 13. I love this. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, what ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. The word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Say, what changed? After a period of time, when the word of God was presented, they heard it and took it and made application. And that changed everything. It changed everything. This church that was, these group of people that were originally very contentious, the Bible says that Paul says, we approached you gently, affectionately, we kept after it, we didn't let up, we weren't afraid, we got blamed for things, yet we were unblameable. And then we presented the word of God. And the word of God got deep down in your heart and changed you from the inside out. What a thing, right? Look at verse 13 again. It says this. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Takes the work of the Lord from contention to change us to joy. And that's exactly what happens. a group that was so adamant and vocal and vile and obstinate and just contrary to the things of God. Paul won them over with love and kindness. So then, when he says, you're a sinner and you need the grace of God to change you, they said, yeah, you're right. And that changed their entire course. And the Word of God got in there. And it changed this group of people. And the Bible says this, and I want to just encourage you in this. Don't quit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 19, it says this, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? He says, for ye are our glory and joy. Something, do you see what we were met with to what ye are today? Say, what happened? We just stuck it out and the Word of God got in there and it changed people. Hey, you know what the world needs? Say, oh yeah, we need more money. We need to fix this inflation rate. We need to lower gas prices. We need the Word of God in people's hearts and lives. Know what our families need? We need to turn off these screens and we need to get away from this. Those are great ideas. I agree with that. But more so than any of that, we need the Word of God in our families. Know what church needs? We need to get rid of these worship teams and get rid of all the, get back to the thing. Hey, we need the Word of God in our churches. It sounds strange to even have to say that. But it's the Word of God that changes us. And the Word of God takes someone that's contentious. And if they allow the Word of God to penetrate their heart, they can take it from contentious to joyful. Philippians chapter number 4. Just a few more verses. I just want to encourage you, church. It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile, even if someone's a little prickly. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Look what he says. My joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Chapter 2 and verse 16. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know what? One day we're going to stand before the Lord. And He's going to ask us, what did you do? Say, with my resources, what did you do with your life? Paul says, I didn't run in vain. I didn't live my life vainly. I didn't live it for me. I lived it for somebody else. I've got much to rejoice over. Last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Nope, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I got that family member, and oh man, they are just obstinate to the things of God. Vocal, we get together at the family things, and they mock me, and they... Gentleness, affection, keep working, keep laboring, maintain a good testimony. And eventually, if the Lord allows, the Word of God will have an opportunity to change their heart. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 1:14 says this, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul mentions multiple churches. He says, you're the reason I have joy. Say, what does that mean? Because I was obedient to the things of God, and now, what brings you joy? Oh, sunsets. I love sunsets. Sunsets with ice cream, soft serve ice cream with sprinkles. Oh, man, there's no greater joy. A nice night with the family. Nice weather. How about seeing God work in a person's life to take them from being so contentious. And over years, yet you've approached them, probably not always perfect, but mostly gently, affectionately, you kept after it, and now they're serving the Lord. Say, oh, look at me, for Christ's sake. Hey, I want to encourage you to stick with it. Don't give up on people. Don't quit. Say, well, they didn't want it. I'm going to go look for... Yeah, but if God called you to that place, if God called you to the... If that guy sitting next to you is, by divine appointment, there every day, keep working. Stay blameless. Keep a good testimony. Paul gives us the pattern, the formula to reach others. Let's all stand. Maybe there's someone in your life and say, Pastor, I have been, I haven't treated them the best. They were nasty to me and I gave it right back to them. I did not handle that right. Anybody like that? Anybody ever do that? Sure. Yeah. Paul helps us here. Hey, if you're here today, say, I don't know what you're all talking about with this, but let me ask you this. This is a serious question. If today was your last day on earth, where would you spend eternity? Say, well, no one knows that. The Bible says that you may know that you have eternal life. And the thing that Paul was trying to help this church and these people of Thessalonica, way on the other part of the world, gives us a pattern for what we can do right here. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. If you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, today's the greatest day to do it. Say, why? Because it's not tomorrow, it's today. The sooner you get in, the better. Hey, if you're working... If you're like that, I would love to talk with you. I would love to say, how long do you got? As long as you need. There's nothing more important. Say, you got VBS, you got to sign, set things up. That can all wait. This is what it's all about. Number two, maybe in your own heart, there's some people that you've given up on. Maybe there's some people that you just thought, they're a lost cause. I don't even... Can I encourage you to approach them gently, lovingly, keep after it? It may be hard. The word was travail. Maintain a good testimony. And maybe the Lord would allow the word of God through your hand or your voice to be expressed to them, to which then it would change from contention to joy. Maybe this morning you want to come and pray for that one. Pray for somebody that God has placed in your life, that they've just been, and Lord, help me to follow this pattern. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, if someone here today isn't saved, I pray that today would be the day that they ask you to forgive them of their sins, to put their complete faith and trust in you. Number two, Lord, help us to not quit. Help us to see that joy. Help us to keep laboring for the Lord. Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation. Maybe you place someone in our life, on our heart, that we just want to come and pray for this morning. Maybe we want to pray for ourselves and God. Or maybe we need to repent of our previous ways, that we weren't gentle, we weren't affectionate. Maybe we have given up. Lord, I pray you'd help us with these things. Bless this time now, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today? Maybe there's someone that you want to pray for. Family member, friend, neighbor. Say, well, they're kind of contentious, not super content. Maybe a little bit. Maybe it's you that you want to come. Say, Lord, give me the pattern of Paul. I am not gentle. I get easily frustrated. Gentle, affectionate. Keep working. Travail. It may be hard. Maintain a good testimony. That God would allow you to bring the word of God to that one. The question is, what is our joy today? What brings you joy? He says, ye are my glory and joy.